seems to be on.
It was on.
It wasn't working.
It's still on.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll turn it off.
I thought it was on, but it wasn't doing anything.
And we'll turn it on again. Oh, we've only used 1/4 of the battery now.
So, good morning. Sometimes the most challenging thing about language study is not the vocabulary, it's not the grammar, it's not even the word order. It's those rather unique phrases, the sayings that are unique to a particular language, the figures of speech, the idioms. It's in that world of unique speech for English where cool and hot can be used as descriptors and have nothing to do with temperature, and there's no need for a thermometer. Some of the old sayings may feel a little worn out by now. They're replaced with shiny new hashtags. But what's interesting about some of those old, tired, worn-out sayings is that at the heart, they carried an element of scriptural truth. One such saying that has rung in my ears for many years is, "Look before you leap." To consider that biblically this morning, we turn to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. By inspiration, King Solomon writes, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." A broken city without walls is a city that has no defense against its enemies. It's a city that is not protected from the elements, has no place to live, no place to be, vulnerable in every way, open to captivity, slavery, misery, and in short, it's a mess. Such is anyone, Solomon says, with no self-control over his own spirit, no restraint of himself, but quick to react on his own emotion, his own senses. In another proverb, Solomon adds, "He who is impulsive," and literally that's short of spirit, so not able to rule it, short of spirit, "such a person exalts folly." To look before you leap is to have rule over your spirit, to be long of spirit rather than short of it. There are some impressive biblical examples of those who did not exercise self-control. They did not look before they leapt. Peter is perhaps the one who comes to mind most quickly. Impulsive Peter pulls out his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, thinking that he, Peter, is going to defend the Son of God. Jesus rebuked him and said, "Whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword." Peter, on a different occasion when Jesus had been talking about his upcoming suffering and death, said, "No, Lord, not you." Jesus responded to that impulsive statement, "Get behind me, Satan." And on the Mount of Transfiguration, again, Peter leapt right into a conversation, not knowing what he was talking about, offering to build 3 tents for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Jacob and his mother Rebekah didn't believe they could wait for God to bring forth the promise that Jacob received the blessing. They leapt into deception and committed their sins against Jacob's father Isaac. Moses was frustrated with one more rebellion of the people of Israel, tired of their complaining. God told him to go and speak to a rock and provide water, which is the need that the Israelites wanted to have satisfied. But Moses was frustrated. He was angry. He did not glorify God. He took it upon himself, pretending that he was the one in charge, and hit the rock instead. Psalm 106 says that it went ill with Moses, so he spoke rashly, quickly, leaping into his conversation and his action before considering it, and on that account was not allowed by God to enter the promised land. In the days of the judges, Jephthah made a vow to the Lord that if he would be delivered from the people of Ammon, he would sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house when he returned home victorious. He came home. His one and only child, his daughter, came running out of the house to celebrate the victory, and the vow that he rushed into suddenly looked very foolish indeed. King Herod enamored with the performance and entertainment of his stepdaughter and full of revelry with his peers, promised her up to half the kingdom. When she requested the head of John the Baptist, the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his pride, he didn't change course. When the Apostle Paul and his companions were in Ephesus, a mob ensued of the shopkeepers and so forth, and they were ready to act rashly, going on the basis of the mob mentality, until the city clerk came out and told them, "Be quiet, do nothing rashly." When we consider all these examples of leaping before looking, before restraining oneself and considering the situation, not having rule over one's spirit, we can actually develop a list of the kinds of things that lie behind that activity. Simple sinner foolishness is top of the list, but an overeager impulsivity, anger, such as Moses, hasty decisions in the moment, pride, not being patient for God to work His will, following the crowd because that's the thing to do, and the list could go on. In each one of these cases, the lack of ruling one's own spirit led in some way, some more dramatic than others, but led in some way to the breaking down of the city and the pulling down of the walls. There is a dramatic contrast to all of this also in Scripture. The source of this contrast is not a sinner. The contrast is from the Holy One, Almighty God, the Lord our Savior. From eternity, He looked, and He knew you. From eternity, He looked and planned your salvation together with the salvation of all sinners. From eternity and in every moment of time, He has looked and continues to look with an eye toward the salvation of sinners because He desires all to be saved. And then, when the fullness of time had come, having thus looked, He leapt full force and sent His Son, the eternal Son of God, to take on flesh and blood and to lay down His life for you. And when the fullness of time came again for you personally, He leapt again, bringing the gospel to you, to your soul, through baptism, through the hearing of the word, to make you His beloved son, His own precious daughter. And He continues to leap for you day by day, preserving your faith through the gospel and continuing to work all things together for good for you who are the called according to His purpose. And knowing that gives us the ability to look before we leap. Knowing that means we don't have to be impatient because we know that the eternal God, almighty and all-powerful and our gracious Lord and Savior, has it in control. It is knowing and trusting His word to be absolutely true and believing that when He says He will do something, He will. So we don't have to become impatient. We don't have to act on our impulses, but to follow His word, to walk in His light, and to rejoice in His salvation. From the position of being sons and daughters of God, blessed with the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to rule well our own spirit and not become that broken down city. Examples are not only biblical, there are current examples as well. In the last several months, Facebook and other venues were full of examples of people following the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. It was the thing to do. It was a good cause. Excitement. There was a Facebook mob mentality. Hey, everybody's doing it. I want to post. I'm going to invite. Some didn't look before they left, and ended up supporting an organization whose work and research is dependent on aborted embryos, murdered children. Others did look, considered, ignored it altogether, or chose a different way. Look before you leap, before we do something. If we react to our own emotions and we jump into something without consideration, without shining God's word onto it, we will follow, more times than not, a sinful course. Look before you leap, before you say anything, before you hit that almighty button send on an email, on a Facebook post, on a text, on a tweet, and things I don't even know about. Remember what James wrote in chapter 3, speaking of the tongue, that it's an unruly evil. It sets the world on fire. You can set the world on fire through your tongue by the words that we write. So stop. Look before we leap. Before we join anything, look before we leap to see what are we going to be involved with? What is going to be the implication of my being in this group or in this activity? and recall the wisdom of Solomon. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. But where Christ rules, where the Holy Spirit enlightens us and grants us self-control, for that too is a fruit of the Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians, where that is the case, the city is alive and well. The walls are strong, for then we are in the refuge of God our Savior, and can say with the psalmist, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Amen. We close this morning with the prayer of hymn 416.
Thank you.